Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga.
I can't
shaka,
stop ooga, this ooga, feeling
ooga, ooga, ooga,
deep inside
ooga,
of me.
Ooga, shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga,
girl, you just don't ooga, realize
ooga, ooga, ooga,
what you do to me.
Ooga, 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 shaka, ooga,
when you hold me
ooga, shaka, ooga,
in your arms so
shaka,
tight, you let me know
shaka, ooga,
everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Come on, come on, you know it.
I'm high on believing.
What's that? You know my mic was on? Oh, of course it was. Of course it was on. We're both singing it. That's the only way. 610 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Monday, day after Easter. Hope you had a good Easter and a good Good Friday. Yeah, I'm still, it's kind of fun. I got a text in on Friday. I don't think you should wish people a happy Good Friday. Like, we call it good.
Dude, that burned my butt all weekend. I was thinking about that.
Isn't that funny?
I almost drove up here with text back. You know what?
You know, we call it Good Friday, man. If you can't say Happy Good Friday.
Yeah,
you
did
know.
You see the response he wrote, or she, no, or whoever wrote,
no.
Potato, potato. And it's like, you know what? I will look up your address. I'm just kidding.
She won't. Potato. Most likely. So on Thursday of last week, we had the Escambia County Commission meeting, and they were discussing OLF-8, which is this big old green space that used to be used for helicopter landings, and then we did a deal where we swapped with the Navy for a field that we built for them in Santa Rosa County in order to get access to this, you know, giant 600-plus acre field that we sold off some of that to Navy Federal, and then we master planned the rest of it in conjunction with, you know, the citizens and the politicians. And the original big idea was jobs, 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 light industrial, and then, you know, a town center, and then add some things like, you know, what, a school maybe, and restaurants, and a post office. And Jeff Bergosh keeps talking about wanting to get his steak dinner out there. And, you know, nobody really wants more residential except, you know, the people who want houses, which is a lot of people. So big compromise in the end, and basically all that stuff got thrown into it. Nobody got what they wanted. Everybody was a little bit unhappy. Now we're getting offers in, and, you know, they're not exactly what we want, and we keep hearing from the county commissioners that they might tinker with the master plan, or frankly what it looks like at this point is they might kind of throw out the master plan and still do something that's a mixture of those elements, but like all the work that went into the master plan is more like broad strokes ideas rather than an actual master plan. Well, so you had an offer that came in, and then you had dueling offers, and basically last Thursday you had was supposed to be the date that everybody was going to show up and pitch their version of it. And Jeff Bergosh says,
a number of offers called, a lot of people emailed, texted, people from Kansas City, famous athletes. But today was the day, because money talks, and we know what else walks, right?
Do
I
say.
See one group here in the audience, so I appreciate you being here.
So, you know, you had one firm, D.R. Horton and Sterling, a partnership, show up. Breland did not show up, and nobody else showed up. And it looks like, you know, there was some question about whether Breland really knew the meeting was going on. And I think it's fair to say, you know, that they should have known. I mean, you know, I want to give people as much slack as possible. But generally speaking, I agree with the interpretation that, you know, Jeff Bergosh had about this and, you know, that Mike Kohler had about this, which was, hey, you know, if you're paying attention, you knew April 6th was going to be the deal and you didn't show up because you're not a serious offer. At least it doesn't look like it. But then the question is, well, what's going to go on that site? And the real argument over residential, how much residential, and is D.R. Horton the right company to do whatever residential goes out there?
Like I told you face-to-face yesterday, I don't like residential on this plot. I never wanted any of it. I understand the rationale. I understand why DPZ also made the same argument that you needed some residential. So that's why we settled on the compromise of the master plan with the assistance of Commissioner Bender, who helped negotiate that. To his credit.
Yeah, and remember, DPZ is the one who did the master plan for this the first time, and then because the commissioners got their feelings hurt, they slow-walked the idea of letting DPZ do the master plan for all of Beulah, and DPZ eventually said, no, screw it, we're not going to play, and so we're spending $240,000 more than we should have to get a less qualified company to do the master plan for all of Beulah, but that's just kind of surrounding background stuff. The basic point here is, yeah, you want some residential because there's obviously a need for housing, but also because if you put houses on the site along with services, restaurants, library, school, whatever happens to go on there eventually, not a fire station, even though there should be one there, that people, you want to capture them inside without having to leave for traffic purposes. You know, from a sort of urban, suburban planning perspective, you want people to live and you want them to walk or bike or, you know, whatever, electric scooter over to the restaurant instead of getting in their car and going down 9 miles to the restaurant. Like, that's a preferable thing from an infrastructure point of view. I've also had it raised to me the question about water service in the area, but I don't know enough to have an opinion about that. But, you know, is there enough to support residential on that site or anything else? I don't know. So Jeff Bergosh says, I hate the residential. I've always hated the residential, but we have to have some of it. Commissioner Bender.
You know, I mean, Jeff, I think I've sat up here 4 years and heard your disdain with residential going on out here.
Every time. And he's not wrong.
But I know we had to have some. And that's how we bred the hybrid plan.
And that's what they wound up agreeing with, is something like that. So basically they were having this question about, should they go forward with D.R. Horton and Sterling? Should they hope for some better offer with somebody else? What would be the exact shape of the deal going forward with D.R. Horton and Sterling? I'll tell you what they decided in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Bad accident. This looks like Highway 29, and it's southbound 29 and 95. A vehicle crash with injuries, and we are showing a roadblock. And this has happened maybe even before the show started. So use caution there. All southbound lanes, I'm still showing blocked near the Grocery Advantage towards Molino, 95A and 29. Bad accident. And again, all southbound lanes blocked. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. This is brought to you by Avalon HR. Everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the OLF-8 conversation and what to do with it. Commissioner Bender says, well, maybe let's hang on to some of this, you know, 530 or whatever acres that are left and hold on to it and develop that ourselves and let the rest go for this kind of entertainment, shops and residential kind of stuff. Let that go to them.
I would not be in favor of selling the entire parcel so that we would retain control over what we want to develop as commercial. And then we can sell it off.
Stephen Berry, District 5.
There's less and less residential being proposed there, so that's good. I think they're listening. I think they're, you know, listening to the board. I think you know, as little residential as can make the rest of the project work is what I like to see.
And you know, Lumen May, for his part, had said that he would like to see. He kind of jokingly said he wants to see some affordable housing, but I don't think he's joking. He definitely wants to see jobs out there for people in District 3. That's the poorer area. I live in District 3, but that's his district. And the idea there is, you know, this is a big investment for the whole county that we put the 15 to 17 or so million dollars in. You know, getting paid for it is nice, but let's make sure that we do something beneficial for the whole county with that site. Again, Jeff Bergosh.
There's tremendous instant gratification for the entire county if we do the deal as it is. Remember, as it sits right now, we're all in at $15 million for that property. With this new offer, I mean, we're $26 million to the good, right?
Yes.
I mean, is that right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tremendous windfall considering governments typically – the way governments typically operate is they buy it when it's real expensive and then lose money and sell it when it's low.
And he's not wrong about that. So here's kind of my takeaway, okay? And what they decided to do is to move forward with negotiations with D.R. Horton and with Sterling. And the idea is they're going to keep back maybe 100, maybe 150 acres for light industrial development somewhere on the site. Sterling wants to put on the northwest corner. Whether that makes the most sense is TBD. Okay, what's the end purchase price going to be? Also, you know, the more we hold back, the less the price, obviously. And so will it be, you know, the 41 or 43 or whatever million? Again, probably not. It'll be something less than that. But that's what they decided to go ahead and do, is figure out a price, figure out how much of the land that Horton and Sterling are going to acquire and then develop, and then allow, you know, basically Florida West, the economic development arm for Escambia County, to try to figure out what to do with the industrial, light industrial portions of that property, where there's not a lot of that property left available in that portion of Escambia County. So is this a good deal for the county? Well, it's definitely not the deal that anybody thought we were getting. But $25 million in profit, or, you know, let's say it's 20 in the end or something like that, that's good. That's going to go to fund a lot of things in the five districts that wouldn't otherwise get funded. Okay, so that's good. I mean, you flipped it for a profit. You know, that's good. That's something, as Jeff Bergosh rightly says, often doesn't happen. And then the question is, well, what about what you actually get on that property? You know, is D.R. Horton the right one? Well, look, if you're imagining some, like, super nice build. Like, if you're thinking it's going to be Nature Trail North, you know, that's not going to happen, right? Is it going to have amenities and services and Jeff Bergosh's steak restaurant? Yeah. You know, will it be national chains or will it be local chains? Well, TBD. Okay, we'll see. But my sort of takeaway on this is it's not what anybody imagined. Anybody who had a real vivid picture of what they wanted out there is going to be disappointed by the end result. But at the same time, it is going to be a profit for the county, it looks like. And at least it's not going to sit there vacant like it has been sitting there vacant now through two full county commissioners, or sorry, 2.5 county administrator terms, right? I mean, we took control of this under Jack Brown, for goodness sakes. You know, and I mean, I'm not even talking interims. I'm talking the full-timers, right? So we've had this for a while, and it could very easily be the downtown tech park. It could very easily be the community maritime park where the city council can't figure out what they want to do, and so it just sits there, being used occasionally as a green space because that's all it's good for so far, right? So it could be that, and whatever gets built out there by Horton Sterling looks likely to be better than that plus a tax roll improvement for the county. That seems like a win. It's not the best win. It's not the ideal win. It's nobody's real happy place win. But compared to the alternative of just it sitting there doing nothing like it is right now, that's better. So that's how I interpret this. So I tend to agree. I think the county commissioners probably did the right thing moving forward. Maybe in 5 years, I'll be unhappy with the result, and people will be like, well, you said, oh, okay. I mean, you know, somebody's got to make a decision somewhere. And I think that the concerns about how the economy is going and the uncertainty and how offers come and go, and, I mean, look at Community Maritime Park. A couple of competing offers. No, yes, no, yes, now nothing. You know, and nobody's stepping forward to really offer. So that's the concern in the background, is sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of situation, and somebody's got to just make a decision. We'll see whether it works out 5 or 10 years from now when they get the Beulah Interchange built, and when this site is built out, we're either going to look at it and be like, oh, man, or oh, man. And, you know, it's hard to tell right now. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about working on a project in your house, or maybe you build houses for a living, or somewhere in between, Pensacola Hardware. It's a fabulous place to buy the stuff that you need, to get the advice that maybe you don't have, and to ask, you know, how do I do this? What's the best way to solve this problem? And remember, there's only two times to ask for advice. You know, one is when you don't know what to do, and one is when you do. Like, so all the time, like, go ask them, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And by the way, it's just a great place to buy all kinds of things. Like, seriously, just go sometime, almost like as a date. Like, go there and just look around for fun, because it is an amazing place to buy all kinds of stuff. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
You've been waiting all year, and it's finally here. BGS Marine Sales Open House is Saturday, April 15th from noon to 5:30. Meet their friendly sales staff, vendors, tour the Florida Panhandle's premier marine service center, food, drink, music, and tons of BGS Marine giveaways. See the all-new ship store and boats, new and used. Don't sit on the dock this season. You could be in a boat with BGS Marine Sales. Mercury, Blazer, Aloha, Yamaha, Kencraft, Suzuki, and more. Hear anything you like? Check it all out at the new BGS Marine Sales, now located at 3910 Navy Boulevard.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space, or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, preventchildabusefl.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What are you doing? You're slowing down. You're slowing down.
I'm bringing you a big closer, Merlin.
You're going to do what?
Good morning, 6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. It's still dark outside, super weird. shouldn't be, but, you know, hey, daylight savings. Candy's got traffic on the fives. Candy.
And bad accident. This is Highway 29, close to, if you're heading towards Molina, of course, this is going southbound. It's at 95 at the split there, technically 29 in Morris Avenue. All southbound lanes, I'm still showing a roadblock. And we got a report that somebody drove into the back of a semi-flatbed, so that's what's going on right now in that area. So it's a slowdown. I'd say avoid that area if you can, or if you're coming from Molino, just know it's going to be real slow. 98 in Rosewood Avenue and Navarre showing an accident with no roadblock this morning. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Nashville City Council holding an emergency meeting today. They're going to be voting on whether to reinstate lawmaker Justin Jones, one of the Democrats expelled from the Tennessee House last week after staging a gun control protest after the Nashville shooting. Justin Pearson was also removed. A vote to expel Gloria Johnson fell one vote short there.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody rushes to the conclusion that it's because they were black. I mean, it could have been because they were named Justin. Sorry.
You know, that is coincidental. It could be a Justin conspiracy.
Nicely done.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott calling for the pardon of a U.S. Army sergeant convicted of murder in the 2020 shooting death of a Black Lives Matter protester. In a tweet Saturday, Abbott said Daniel Perry was acting in self-defense when he shot and killed Garrett Foster, who was holding an AK-47 at a BLM rally in Austin in July of 2020. Abbott stated that he and the he's asked the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles to send a pardon recommendation for Perry. Everything's set for the annual White House Easter egg roll today. They're expecting thousands of people. First Lady Jill Biden says that the theme is eggucation for the event.
No. Go on.
Let's see. They're going to be turning the South Lawn of the White House, they say, into a school community with educational activities for the thousands of people they're expecting.
All right. Well, there's nothing that kids get up in the morning more eager to do than to go to an educational activity at the White House. So
that's true.
No, they probably do. It's fun. You know, go to. It's a cool thing you go to. There are a lot of weird traditions at the White House that are entertaining. I don't find this to be one of them. It's just an odd thing. You know, grabbing your spoons and rolling the eggs across. It's just a weird one to me. But, hey, the kids love it. Good enough for me. 6:28 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is kind of an interesting note. You remember last week, and I don't know that we talked a lot about this last week, but you had President Biden rolled out this kind of rule that, or said, you know, the Department of Education, that you could not blanket ban trans athletes from competing in women's sports. You could have you know, as long as you had certain particular cases where you needed it, maybe for safety or for some kind of competitive fairness, that's why we separate them, by the way, but you couldn't blanket ban it. So immediately you ask the question, well, I thought we did here in Florida. Sure enough. So, you know, Manny Diaz, who is the Secretary of Education, well, the Education Commissioner, he says in Florida, he says, this is a sad, pathetic attempt from a completely inept administration to force their woke worldview on the rest of us. Since Joe Biden can't get Congress or the Supreme Court to rubber stamp his radical gender ideology, he's resorted to bullying American students through the federal bureaucracy. Good luck, this won't fly in Florida. And it is weird, at least from my perspective, I think it's weird, that Title IX, which was used to create competitive parity for women to, you know, mandate things like if you have a men's sport, you have to have a woman's sport, and to kind of create a space to foster women's sports, is now being used to mandate that people born as men are allowed to compete against women in women's sports. Like, that's a weird inversion of the original purpose of this regulation. But this is where we are, except in Florida. Again, Manny Diaz says that they're going to fight it. What resources they have to fight it, since, you know, it would be a question of, like, federal funding, and would they be able to pull funding for areas that don't participate? Well, we'll see. You know, this is kind of a in the beginning stages of playing out. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, more home runs in baseball? Could be because of climate change. Like it's Oprah giving out the announcement. Basic physics. When the when the air is hotter, it is less dense, and baseballs go farther, which is the reason why you have more home runs in Colorado, for example, because the air is less dense. And so, because of hotter temperatures in general, whatever the source, you have about a 1% increase in home run likelihood for every degree the air warms. And so, roughly about 1% of the home runs that were hit over the last few years were because of warming, not because of better baseball playing.
Fox News, I'm Paul Stevens. A ruling in Texas may affect access to an abortion drug.
A Texas federal judge decided Friday to suspend the FDA's longtime approval of mifepristone, while a court in Washington state ruled access to the drug should remain the same. Mifepristone has been widely used in the U.S. for more than two decades.
Fox's John Scott. Two former Democratic Tennessee state lawmakers, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, now fighting to get their jobs back.
The Tennessee House voted along party lines to expel Jones and Pearson, who were both black, after Republicans accused them and Representative Gloria Johnson of holding an unruly gun reform demonstration on the chamber floor in response to a deadly shooting here in Nashville. Efforts to expel Johnson, who is white, failed.
Fox's Charles Watson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 59 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. A Foley woman was arrested after a car chase that went from Baldwin into Escambia County over the weekend. Deputies say 30-year-old Brittany Gale Walters stole a vehicle and rammed Baldwin County deputies when they tried to stop her, then led deputies on a chase down Highway 98 into Escambia County. That's where she was finally stopped. Walters reportedly had active warrants. She was taken to the Escambia County Jail. She's being held on $16,500 bond. Well, bad news over the weekend. That 12-year-old that was hit skateboarding last week has passed away. Pensacola police confirmed that news Saturday. The child, when that accident happened last Wednesday, was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Officers say the driver of the vehicle did stop and cooperate with police. No other details on that incident is going to be released. A young teenage boy from Kentucky drowned over the weekend in Okaloosa County. That happened off the coast of James Lee Beach in Destin. Deputies say the 13-year-old was in a group of several juveniles that were in the water and started struggling about 65 yards offshore. Surfers helped to rescue most of those kids, but they couldn't find one in the group. The 13-year-old's body was found by Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office Marine units. Shortly after that happened, man taken to the hospital after being shot during an attempted armed robbery yesterday. Escambia County deputies say that happened at the Peachtree Commons Apartments over on Twin Oaks Drive in New Warrington. The man is expected to survive. So far, no word on whether any arrests were made. Escambia County now moving forward on that OLF 8 project with developer D.R. Horton. That decision made last week when the developer offered the county $42 million for the property.
Buying it at the right price, and we're going to sell it for a nice profit. And then we're going to take that $27 million in profit for the taxpayers, and we're going to go on a mission around this county addressing deficiencies in stormwater, sidewalks, roads, infrastructure.
And Commissioner Burgosh tells Channel 3 that the property does have space for a town center, retail, restaurants, and, of course, housing. So far, there's no word on exactly what D.R. Horton's plans for the property are or if they'll be similar at all to the county's original master plan. Commissioners will be meeting with the developer to discuss the plan, and they're also planning a town hall meeting for Beulah residents to give feedback directly to D.R. Horton. Escambia County deputies looking for a man that they believe might be in danger. 34-year-old Benjamin Heritos was last seen on Highway 29 over the weekend. The sheriff's office has posted a photo of Benjamin Heritos on their social media, and they're asking if anyone has information on his current location for you to contact the sheriff's office. It is 6:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
It looks like an accident. We've been talking about this all morning on southbound 29, close to Molino, too. It's 95A, as I understand. It looks like it has been moved off to the side. Channel 3 just had a beautiful vision of it to or showed it on Channel 3, rather, moved off to the side. Great camera work is what I'm saying from Channel 3. It looks like an auto had drove into the back of a flatbed semi, but it looks like they are moving it onto a tow truck now. And we got reports that they're not sure of the condition of the driver, but a puppy was rescued, which is not the sweet part of it. 437-1620. Listen, if you have traffic tips. 29, I'm still showing that southbound lanes are real, real slow in that area. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Small chance of rain throughout the day today, 10% chance overall with a high near 64. Temperatures overnight dropping near 56. We're going to be warming up for your Tuesday with a high near 74. Still a 10% chance of rain around. Temperatures overnight Tuesday dropping near 61. 75 for your high on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain with Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 59 degrees, cloudy in Pensacola, 59 in Gulf Breeze, and 57 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Whole Foods Market is exploring building commercial kitchens that would make prepared meals for the grocer's food bars and refrigerated cases. The move is a shift for the Amazon-owned supermarket operator, which has outsourced much of its food production to other companies after years of closing its own kitchens to cut costs. The Wall Street Journal says operating its own kitchens could help Whole Foods better control the quality of its multi-billion dollar prepared foods business, and the grocer's also considering buying existing kitchens. More and more investors want to own truck stops. BP is trying to fend off a second suitor for Travis Centers of America, with fuel station operator ARCO looking to top BP's offer of $86 a share with its own unsolicited bid of $92 a share. Travel Centers has rejected the higher bid and says investors will vote on the matter on May 10th. On Wall Street, futures are little changed after stocks posted modest gains on Thursday. The market was closed on Friday. That's Your Money Now.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hey Pensacola, it's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we are celebrating. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary and winning the 2022 Best of the Bay Award. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for the community. He also started the flat rate pricing system, where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises. Now, 50 years later, his vision continues. At Barbieri Plumbing, we appreciate you putting your trust in us and voting us as 2022 Best of the Bay winner. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, we appreciate your vote of confidence by choosing Barbieri Plumbing. Call Barbieri Plumbing, 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage,
hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Ain't got no regrets. I ain't losing track of which way I'm going. I ain't gonna double back, no. Don't wanna misplay. Put on no display. An angel, no, but I know my way.
Members, currently Article 9, Section 4A of the Florida Constitution requires that school board members shall be elected in a nonpartisan election. House Joint Resolution 31 proposes an amendment to the Florida Constitution that would change the way we elect school board members in the state of Florida to require partisan elections. That is the resolution, Mr. Speaker.
All right, this is Representative Spencer Roach talking about HJR 31. It's not a bill. It's a joint resolution to put a change to the Constitution on the ballot for us to vote on whether we want to have partisan school board elections or not. 437-1620, 437-1620, if you want to weigh in on this. Anna Eskamani, one of my favorite Democrats, arguing back and forth with this and, you know, whether this would be an improvement or not.
Do you believe that a party defines a person's future in office, that they have a complete allegiance to a political party?
Representative Roach, you're recognized.
Well, I think when you join a party, you are embracing a platform, an ideology. And I think voters know that there are real differences in governing philosophies in the two major parties in this country. I mean, there are real differences in party positions on things like school curriculum, which books should be in the school library, school choice, and the role of funding for charter and private schools, bathroom policies, boys playing on girls' sports teams, school safety, the adoption of the Guardian program, and finally, fiscal accountability. There's some real differences in the parties and how they view allocating taxpayer resources and budget dollars. So, yeah, I think there's a real difference in party affiliation that pervades every office, even school board offices.
Yeah, and certainly you see these things play out at the local level. And as we've talked about before, you already have a really high level of political disagreement at the school board level. And people really do want to know. And that's, it's a thing that people get asked all the time. Are they a D? Are they an R? What does that mean? Because people don't know, you know, how to vote, basically. And that's a good shorthand for them to figure it out. Anna Eskamani continues to press.
Do you think that having partisan school board races would deliver better or worse results for our kids?
Representative Roach, for that speculation question, but please do your best.
I would argue that it's worked very, very well for the Florida legislature, and I would hope that it would work the same way for school boards around the state of Florida.
Another follow-up, Representative Eskamante.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It's Eskamante, by the way, no T. But that's, you know, you get his point. Like, in the legislature, we elect Democrats and Republicans, and it's three-quarters Republicans right now. It's worked out really well for us. Like, the state benefits from the fact that we have partisan legislative elections. He's saying, yeah, it's done pretty well, so we think this would do pretty well. That's a funny comment. So the question really is, what about mandate? What about number of voters involved? What about no party affiliate candidates or no party affiliate voters? What about them? Because if you have partisan primaries, your NPAs don't get to vote in those, and your NPA candidates don't get to run in those. So what about that? Well, Spencer Roach explained that there is a value here in terms of participation.
In my county, we had one race in the last Lee County cycle that was decided in the primary. 16,000 people voted in that race. And the other two single-member districts that were on the ballot that went to a general election ballot, 35,000 people voted in one, that was District 4, and 51,000 people voted in the other, which is District 1. So you're going to have many more voters deciding the outcome of a race.
In other words, if you have a primary that then also goes to the general election, whoever your elected official becomes, your school board representative, it'll be by more people, meaning that their mandate is better. More people actually voted for them instead of being decided, for example, in a primary where you don't have partisanship, but where there's only two candidates or where one gets a majority. It's such a small section of the electorate that they have less of a mandate, less political justification for them being in power. So one of the benefits of going to a partisan is you force a general. partisan primaries, you force a general, which is good.
Listen to this, members. We had 154 school board elections in the state of Florida this last cycle, 154 elections. Out of those 154 elections, 105, that's 68% of those elections were determined in a primary. Someone won with 50 plus 1% of the vote. So a very, very small plurality of voters got to make that decision, whereas in the general election, we're seeing much more, much greater voter participation. So I think if you support this and you have those partisan elections, you're going to dramatically increase the number of voters that are picking school board candidates.
And that's part of the value. What he's getting at, again, is what percentage of school board elections were determined in the primary? 68%, as opposed to having those run in the general, where you really have to appeal to a much larger group of voters. And, you know, it's not just the political insiders, so to speak, because that is tends to be who votes more in the primaries than in the general election. And so we want to give the most people the most voice in all of this.
The point that you're trying to make is that numerically less NPAs will vote in the primary. That's true. But the point that I'm making is the data overwhelmingly shows that a greater number of voters, NPAs, Republicans, and Democrats, are voting in general elections. So while numerically you can accurately state that no NPAs will be voting in partisan primaries, that's true. Almost a 50% larger majority will be voting in a general election.
This is a really important point because it has to do with the complaint leveled against partisan school board primaries about no party affiliate voters. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's get Canyon here quickly with traffic on the fives.
Okay, it looks like the accident, it's still slow on 29 near 95, but it looks like it has it is clearing up. Channel 3 just did a package on it and showing how it is moving now. It's slow. It's not stopped like it was. This is north of the mill, of course, in Cantonment. So caution there. Still looks like it's blocked, but just really slow southbound near the Grocery Advantage in Molino/Cantonment. Caution there and wherever you are, certainly. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you're thinking about getting your vehicle worked on, your import, your Porsche, your Mercedes, your BMW, your Jaguar, your Lexus, you think you got to go to the dealership? No, you can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these cars all the time, saves you money over the dealership, saves you time and travel inconvenience over the dealership, and yet you can get those cars worked on no sweat. Same thing with the diesel engines. You think, I got to go to the dealer. No, you can go to Bobby Likas Auto. They work on those all the time, and every other kind of car as well. CarClinicService.com is the website, the philosophy being like a healthcare clinic for your car to prevent the problems by seeing them for the little things so you don't have to deal with the big things. Carfax 2021 top rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or higher. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Back to the conversation about whether we should have partisan school board elections or not. One of the primary objections, pardon the double use of the word, one of the main objections is that no party affiliate voters will not get to vote in the primary, whereas they can vote now and in the general because you don't have party affiliation. Okay, true. True. NPAs will be pushed out of voting in the primaries. But what he was getting at in that clip is that there are far more NPAs going to be voting at all in the general because of higher participation, and they will have a better chance to have their views represented or to have the candidates consider their views because they're a bigger slice of the electorate in the general election. So, yeah, it's annoying that NPAs don't get to pick R's or D's in the primaries. But if you really, what he's saying is that if you really want NPAs to have a voice, this is a better way to do it. Now, there was some kind of funny back and forth about talking with diverse people and having millions of voters and people watching on the floor. I don't think that's accurate. But generally speaking, when I was listening to this argument, I was considering the alternatives and the objections, and I'm persuaded. Like, I think this makes sense. I will vote for this when this becomes something on the Constitution that we have a chance to amend coming up in the next election. But feel free to disagree with me. That's always what the text line is available for. 437-1620 if you see it a different way. Always feel free to try to persuade me. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more Wednesday at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Florida Blue invites you to spring into wellness this Saturday, 10 to 2 at your local Florida Blue Center on Airport and 9th Avenue. Enjoy spring giveaways while supplies last. Event is free and open to the public. You may still qualify for special enrollment if you've recently moved or gotten married or have a new job. An exclusive Florida Blue agent can tell you all the life events that qualify. Visit Florida Blue Center at 9th Avenue and Airport for more information.
Limit one gift per household while supplies last.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 360. That keeps going up a little bit. 358 in Florida, also increasing. 324 in Texas is the best in the land. 488 in California is the worst in the nation. 329 east and west at the Walmart. That's a good 14, 15 cents higher than it had been for several weeks. 326 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge at the Murphy. 345 in proper. 335 at the Raceway in Avalon. 332 at the Pea Ridge Murphy. And looks like 339 at a couple of stations through Pace. 329 on 9 Mile at the Walmart. 329 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. 319 at the Beacon, or the A store, I guess it is now, on Old Palafox, if that's not too inconvenient to get to for you. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like the Navy Murphy is 331. 652 here on News Radio 92.3. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen, with the lowest out-the-door price in your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. We've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Senator Lindsey Graham says the U.S. should consider sending troops to defend Taiwan. He was on Fox News Sunday. He said if the U.S. doesn't up its game in the region, there could be a war. Graham also suggested blocking oil shipments to China from the Middle East.
Can I make a funny note to you?
Yeah, of course.
It's funny. I've heard it twice now. You say Graham and then whatever the next, and it makes it sound like it's grandma. Every time I hear it, it makes me laugh.
See, I knew I should have taken
grandma.
Toastmasters. I could have avoided this whole situation. Picket lines expected today at Rutgers University at their three main campuses after the university campus faculty voted to strike. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy now calling on both sides to meet with him. It'll be the first strike in the 256-year history of Rutgers, also one of the biggest in the history of higher education in the U.S. And John Rahm, the winner at the Masters this year, he defeated Americans Brian Koepka and Phil Mickelson, who both tied at second place.
And I guess Kent kind of came from out of nowhere and managed to survive the tree fall and everything. So, you know... You see that video? Yeah. Trees falling?
That's crazy.
Goodness, that's not right. That's just not how things are supposed to go.
Yeah, unless it's Happy Gilmore.
Oh, hello. Right. And yeah. Then it's fine. Right.
And helped him win. Not pay attention.
Nicely done. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. 437-1620, 437-1620. Along with Channel 3, WEAR, ABC 3 News Radio, is and the Better Business Bureau and Gilmore Services, we're doing the Community Shred-a-thon event Saturday, April 22nd. Starts at 8, goes to 11 at Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Bring your personal paper documents, tax information, returns, bank statements, canceled checks, paycheck stubs, you know, classified documents, whatever you need to bring in. No, just kidding. Come on. Can't we throw a little, you know, federal crime joke in the middle of everything else?
Yes, on this station vicinity. You can.
Anyway, car is limited to 50 pounds of paper documents. It's about two bags or boxes of documents. Staples and small paper clips do not need to be removed. Do not tie or tape the bags or the boxes. So that comes up again on Saturday, April 22nd. Bands on the Beach. Bands on the Beach is coming up tomorrow night. Gulfside Pavilion, Disco Kiss. That's a rock band. Takes a stage, and of course, you can go there 7 o'clock. It's always a good time to enjoy a little bit of beach and maybe have an adult beverage and just enjoy yourself. No glass on the sand. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it's down to one lane now since it's southbound 29 at 95. They do have the vehicle on the wrecker, as I understand, but still very, very slow in that area. This is north of the mill. Of course, southbound lane's just real slow. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. Thank you so much for doing so. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, thanks so much, Candy. You know, when you're thinking about who you want to hire as a realtor, here's some interesting data. I was just talking to Christina Leavenworth about this the other day. In this area, there are about 3,000 agents registered on the MLS. Okay, about 3,000 are registered. There are about 20 that have sold more than 20 homes so far this year. Only seven has sold more than 30. Okay, and she's got 36 they've sold, and they've got another 29 under contract. Just for perspective. 1,600 of those 3,000 have sold zero houses this year. Literally half of the realtors on the MLS haven't sold a house. And so the reason I mention that is just because what do you want? What you want to get the results. And, you know, just think about results in terms of when you're hiring somebody to represent you because, you know, obviously experience, you know, and professionalism and all of that. And, you know, it's just kind of an odd little thing to think about, like, who you entrust, such a major part of what you're doing financially, you know, who you have looking out for you. Obviously, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty, they are going to take good care of you and get the best price selling or buying. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. 656 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? This is such an odd story, but I wanted to mention it to you because it caught my attention. It's the kind of thing you're like, oh, interesting. I hadn't been thinking about that. It was an article in The Economist, which is, you know, sometimes The Economist can be a little bit dense to penetrate. But the headline of Economics of Thinness. The Economics of Thinness. And talking about, you know, how income relates to physical, not beauty is the right term, but, you know, thinness, fitness, right? And this will come as no surprise to you whatsoever. What they found is that women who are thinner make more, and men who are thinner, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's, you know, like, it just, you know, women do.
Just like dating.
Right, yeah, women who are thinner tend to make more, and women, it doesn't matter what their sort of body shape is, you know, thinner or thicker, they kind of, that's not relevant. So their recommendation basically is it economically makes sense for a woman to focus on weight, which is what women do. They focus on weight because, you know, if you can lower your weight, it has a bigger boost to your income even than, you know, sometimes more education. Like the wage premium for a master's degree is about 18%. But, you know, 10% is the penalty on your income if you're obese, for example. Okay. Now, I think it's that's one way to look at it. Like, if you lose weight, you'll make more money. There's another way to look at it, which is that, you know, it might be that the things related to doing well at weight loss are things that are related to doing well in the marketplace. And it doesn't reward men the same way because it doesn't matter for men. But it could be things like, you know, planning, scheduling, delayed gratification, and that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying you always have to look at alternate causes, like alternate. What is the data really telling you? And it's just an interesting one. But their basic takeaway was, look, it makes sense to focus on this, right? 437-1620, time for
Future News.
Future News, which is the time when we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Is Clarence Thomas going to stay in office?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this going to be an anything burger in the future?
I think they're going to have to put it.
They might have a little bit more. Like, you know, reform put into place or ethics rules put in place. That's fine. Which I don't think he did anything wrong. That's my takeaway. Mifepristone, two completely in conflict rulings about whether this drug should or should not be allowed. What's the end result here? It goes to the Supreme Court, and I think the Supreme Court upholds it, actually. OLFA, will we be proud of what we're doing in 5 or 10 years?
Yes.
Let's say
it'll
yes.
It'll be like Wahoo Stadium.
I'm
going to
say
great.
Yes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP.